I'd like to call this meeting to order, City of Palm Coast City Council meeting. It is Tuesday, September 19, 2017. It is 9 a.m. Please join me in the Pledge of the Flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Nobile?
Here.
Councilmember Cuff?
Here.
Councilmember Clufus?
Present.
Councilmember Shipley?
Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
Great. We'll now start the public participation portion of our agenda. Any member of the public wishes to speak on topics not on the agenda, please do so at this time. Your 3 minutes will start. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Charles Ebert, Palm Coast. I passed out of some things that I wrote a letter a while back. From Virginia, and what I have to say is that that meeting that we had, the special for inquiring about Mr. Linden's contract and so forth, that was one of the most farcist things that have I ever seen that was presented to us. The location and so forth was terrible and so forth. Now, I met Mr. Linden during my city academy, and back then, I didn't care for him. And so it's been 5 years that I've been here under his direction. His demeanor is terrible sometimes here in the council here. He seems like he's not interested in what we ask to say and so forth. You all know that I've been very ample against Waste Pro and so forth because of skid marks, and now we're having hydraulic leaks. And Mr. Linden's thing was, how do we know who's doing it? Well, I presented to the council here 18 affidavits stating of who did it. We still haven't resolved a lot of it yet, but they are trying to make an effort. Now, did Mr. Linden, does he do a good job? Yes. Okay? He seems to keep the city running, but like Mr. Noble said, it's time for having new blood to come in here, okay? The school district just recently had to hire our new superintendent because our superintendent moved on to Tallahassee. It only took them 90 days to get a new superintendent. Now, if our superintendent of education is not about as equal as our city manager's job, that I don't know, because they're going to educate the future. So if it only takes them 90 days to go headhunting, then I think all the discussions that we had during that special meeting was nil and not valid. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
The cripples are coming up. Jack Carroll, Palm Coast. Wait, let me get this down. I don't know if this is the proper place, but quite a while back, a few months anyway, the mosquito control come up with $1 million short. Now that money's got to come from someplace. And the only place it can come from is us. Now, Representative Renner and the senator, I can't think of his name, they asked for an audit. And I was just wondering, do we get involved in something like that as a city council, you know, thinking that it's our money that's going to be spent? But do you go up, you know, do you say anything? Do you call or you find out if they're going to be in audit, if there's not going to be in audit, and where that money is going to come from, and how they're going to get it, and who's going to jail? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good morning. My name is Dustin Sims. Good morning, Mayor, City Council.
A little over a year ago, I met a gentleman who had recently relocated to Palm Coast, and I had a conversation with me, and he had told me that he had just recently moved from Missouri, and they just fell in love with Palm Coast because it reminded them of their home. As our conversation continued, Mr. Landon's name was mentioned, and he asked, "Is Mr. Landon the city manager here?" And I replied, "Yes." And he said, "I see it now." He said, "I see why Palm Coast felt like home to us. I see Mr. Landon's fingerprint all over this city. I'll bet that is what attracted us here. I believe we all see Mr. Landon's fingerprint on this city, from the parks and the trails to the development of infrastructure over his tenure. Mr. Landon has helped bring this city through tough financial struggles, the housing crash, and high unemployment rates, and now two hurricanes. A time when Palm Coast could have busted and become a place of exodus and loss. Instead, it has survived, in fact, beginning to thrive with a population of 100,000 people who have chosen to, as you say, find their Florida right here in Palm Coast. Mr. Landon has brought much more to Palm Coast than buildings and infrastructure, because cities are more than buildings and infrastructure. They're about people and families and relationships. He has brought relationships with other governmental organizations and municipalities. As an educator, I've seen Mr. Landon work closely with the school district to help develop flagship programs, an internship program with the city that just this year, after its first year, had over 200 applicants apply for internships. Incredible future of our city. He is also working with his City Hall employees to help develop a mentorship program at Flagler Palm Coast High School to help our vision of a mentor for every single student. From the employees for the city to students in the school system, our beautiful community, Mr. Landon's vision for Palm Coast has brought so many to call this home and laid the groundwork for so many others to also find their Florida. I thank you, Mr. Landon, for developing a city for all stakeholders, for the relationships you've made to help make Palm Coast a place I want to raise my family. We all hope to leave our mark. You've left your fingerprint. Your brand that will last here for many generations, you've inspired to make Palm Coast their home too. It is my hope you will be able to continue to leave your mark. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Good morning. Vincent Liguori, Palm Coast. Mitigate. What does it mean? To make less severe or painful. Hurricanes Matthew and Irma did a good job of knocking down dead and diseased trees. This created severe financial expenses for the city and residents. Could we have done more to mitigate the damage caused by trees and vacant lots? I believe we can, and propose the following remedies. One, ongoing city inspection of trees in close proximity to FPL transformers. Implement an 80% home density that I brought to the council last January, and to date have not received an answer on that proposal. Some claim this would impact drainage, the 80% density. Flooding. To that, I counter with this. The Arlington subdivision contains no vacant lots, no scrub pines. I haven't heard of any flooding problems there. The city should take a very aggressive position on vacant lot wildfire mitigation and dead tree removal. The urban forestry unit staffing should be increased. Currently, only two employees are assigned to this function. Vacant lot overgrowth into swale areas should be cut back on a higher frequency. Builders can completely denude a lot prior to building. They must replant three trees. Question. Why can't a lot owner whose lot contains 20 to 40 scrub pines, and they do, reduce the number of trees accordingly? Flooding, when the water table is high, the water flow from vacant lots resembles a river flow to the streets. Many citizens know nothing about wildfire mitigation and dead tree removal. These programs should be fully explained utilizing the Palm Coast Flyer. In order to encourage the sale and new home starts on vacant lots, perhaps a startup tax on vacant lots would be in order based on years of ownership, 3 to 5 years, $200, et cetera, et cetera. If doable, install an annual hurricane tax on homeowners and vacant lots. This fund would be inviolable and would only be used for expanded mitigation. A $30 annual tax on approximately 50,000 homes and 30,000 lots would yield $2.5 million annually. Instead, of cherry-picking citizen comments at council meetings, have the city communication director review all relevant citizens' questions and requests and issue a written summation of answers and actions taken on specific matters. The summation could be attached to the next meeting agenda. Finally, anything that can be done to alleviate financial burden on the city and residents is a blessing. Owners of vacant lots should no longer be exempt from financial expense. In the last 10 seconds, I'd like to compliment FPL, specifically two supervisors, which I was too stupid to get their names, for restoring power. These are my comments, ladies and gentlemen of the council, and I hope seriously that you will take some action on. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. Not long ago, there were studies about cigarette smoking and the harm to people, and the tobacco industry was in denial about these studies, and many people died before it actually became a well-known problem. Same thing about asbestos. The people that owned the buildings with asbestos in it, they were in denial that it was causing cancer, but eventually they were required to remove the asbestos from the buildings. Now the World Health Organization, EPA, CDC, have numerous studies about close proximity traffic to homes and the harm and the health to the residents of the homes. Florida Park Drive now has 8,600 cars per day going on that road, 60 feet from the homes. That's 3 million plus cars per year. There's been a statement out that says, see something, say something. But it seems like, well, if it's the government that's doing it, don't say anything. Be quiet. Well, I don't like that. Promises made by the city to protect residential neighborhoods has been ignored. City policies and ordinances have actually been violated. A Matanzas Wood Interchange was promised to reduce the traffic. It didn't. Palm Harbor Extension Project was also said would reduce the traffic. But in 1 year, the traffic increased by 400 cars per year after those projects were completed. Now we're saying, well, Old Kings Road might reduce that traffic. Well, from where the area of the traffic's coming from, if they're not going to drive a quarter of a mile to get to the Palm Coast intersection and Palm Harbor intersection where there is a four lane, what makes us think that they're going to drive 2 miles to get to Matanzas Wood Old Kings intersection to get to a four lane? They're not. So it's ridiculous to think that this other project is going to resolve the problem. It's not going to resolve the problem. If I was a business, I wouldn't bring an organization to Palm Coast when the city ignores scientific studies about the harm to children and elderly. If the city will not protect the most vulnerable residents, how can I trust them to protect my business? It's not about traffic. It's about people. It's about their health. It's about their lives. And the only question I have to ask is, why is Florida Park Drive more important to the city as a thoroughfare than the health and the lives of the residents that live there? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Lewis McCarthy, Palm Coast. I didn't come up here to whip on anybody. All I can say is when I had a chance to get out of my house and drive, I saw what our people who work for us have cleared streets, got the streets fairly cleared. Now, I'm not saying everywhere was that way, because we are large. But all I'm saying is that we need to pay and give the people who work for us in Palm Coast a hand, because they did a hell of a job and everything. And I've seen some of the trees and stuff that were on the side and everything. Now, I know you can blame the lines going down and power and this, that, and the other. And the only one that everybody seems to, not everybody, but certain people want to blame is that man sitting right over there, Mr. Lannan. But I'm telling you, as the chief general who made sure that he was on top of things, he was on top of things when it count. And this isn't the first time. So all I can say is to the workers, you guys, girls, young ladies, women, whatever, you did a yeoman's job, a very, very good job. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Morning, George Mayo, Palm Coast. Excuse me. Prior to the Hurricane Irma hitting at our last meeting, I spoke to Richard Adams and Steve Flanagan and posed the question that the problem in Katrina with the hospital was emergency generators were placed at ground level and flooded, making the hospital unusable. The problem with Harvey and Houston Hospital was the emergency generators were placed at ground level and made unusable. The chemical plant that exploded several times, where the vats had to be, chemicals had to be kept cool, the emergency generator was at ground level and rendered unusable. And I asked him that about our infrastructure. And basically, we're flat. Our swale system works really well. But in a situation like this, where water could come up faster than we really expect it with wind-driven rain, our emergency generators are basically at ground level. I spoke to them this morning, and he said they're going to have to look at that for future projects. I would just like to pose to this council and management that any future infrastructure we have going on, that we look at that, so that should we get a 50-inch rain like Harvey, it's even going to inundate our swale system, which works really well. So anything like that that requires emergency generators to keep infrastructure going, that we keep it, whatever you come up with, a required height above ground level, so as to keep that plant, whatever it might be, water, wastewater, any kind of emergency plant, fire department, anything else, make sure that those generators will be usable in a storm like that. And it won't take much to keep them, you know, one story above the water and whatever, but I think we should look at that and look at our building code, so anything that needs to be done like that should be done. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Close public comments. Start with Mr. Egert's comments. I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but the school district took much longer than 90 days to find their replacement. They had a search committee that spent several months finding their replacement. So just for the record, it was not 90 days that it took them. Mr. Carroll's comments, the Mosquito Control District is an independent governing body. It's elected by the people of Flagler County. It's a separate bill on your tax bill. The reason why Representative Renner and Senator Hudson were able to call for an independent audit, because legislatively they have the power to do that. I, like you, am very concerned about those dollars and hope that it's resolved and resolved publicly so we can understand what happened to these dollars. But I applaud both Representative Renner and Senator Hudson for taking action on this issue. Mr. Ligori has left, but his comments are duly noted, and I know we're working on a vacant lot solution for different mitigation reasons. So hopefully we'll get something back soon. Mr. Carr, thank you for your comments. As always, we understand your passion for Florida Park Drive, and your comments are always duly noted. Mr. McCart, thank you for your comments as well. I agree 100%. Our team and our departments did an exceptional job and spent many, many hours at our EOC without sleep. So it took a whole army to get this place back up and running, and they certainly delivered. And as far as the generator at ground level, I think that's a valid point. Have we had any discussions about that?
I haven't been involved in any of those discussions, but yeah, I think it's a very valid point.
So we'll take those into account moving forward?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Okay. We'll now move to the approval of our minutes of the City Council. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G2, ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Mayor, Council, this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the official zoning map as established in Section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. This ordinance amends the official zoning map for 4,585 acres, more or less, of certain real property generally located along both sides of U.S. 1, extending from Palm Coast Parkway to Old Kings Road, and being more particularly described in Exhibit A to the ordinance. This modifies the Palm Coast MPD Development Agreement. It provides for conflicts for severability and provides for an effective date. Mayor, this is the second reading, and it is quasi-judicial, so if there's any ex parte communications since the first reading, those should be disclosed at this time.
Any ex parte?
Thank you.
Mayor, City Council, this is just a minor amendment. They went through it in detail at your last meeting. This is the second reading. We've had no additional comments. It really just provides some flexibility for in the residential arena and brings it up to date to today's standards. So we believe it's ready for final approval.
Great. Any council questions or discussion? None. I will open it up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comment on agenda item number G2, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G3, another ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, you're going to get tired of this voice. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Section 236, meetings of the City Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast, providing for severability, codification for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Mayor, City Council, this is the ordinance that you requested to change the time of your evening meetings, the first Tuesday of every month, from 6:30 to 6, to allow for public comment at the beginning of the meeting. This is a second reading, and we've had no additional comments. Believe it's ready for final approval.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G3, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, and I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G4, an ordinance.
Mayor, this is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, to annex property to be included within the corporate area and city limits of the City of Palm Coast upon adoption of this ordinance, providing for the annexation of approximately 109.15 acres of property described in Exhibit A to the ordinance, lying in the areas proximate to the existing city limits of the City of Palm Coast, Flagler County, Florida. This ordinance provides for annexation in accordance with the voluntary annexation provisions of Section 171.0444 statutes. It provides for annexation of real property and an amendment of the corporate city limits, provides for the rights and privileges resulting from this annexation and the effect of this annexation upon land uses. It provides for the effect on ad valorem taxes, for effect on business and occupations, and provides for conflict, severability, and for an effective date.
Mayor, City Council, this is also a second reading of the annexation of this property. It's on the east side of Colbert Lane, just north of Roberts Road. It is one of the holes in Palm Coast. Once again, no changes, no comments since last meeting. We believe it's ready for final approval.
Any council comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G4, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to our council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G5. It's an ordinance.
Yes, Mayor. This is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, for the voluntary contraction or de-annexation of the city boundary by de-annexing 116.23 acres, more or less, of real property known as Airport East, generally located south of State Road 100 and west of Seminole Woods Parkway, more particularly described and legally described on Exhibit A attached to the ordinance, and fully incorporated herein by this reference. This ordinance provides for the amendment of the city boundaries to contract the subject properties from the city boundaries, provides for severability conflicts, and provides for an effective date.
Mayor, City Council, this is the annexation requested by Flagler County for property they recently purchased incorporated in the airport. It's consistent with the interlocal agreement that you approved at your last meeting that indicated that if any development occurs, that it would be to city standards. If they sell it to the private sector, it would be annexed back into the city. The second reading, we believe it's ready for final approval.
Any council discussion or questions? If not, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comments on agenda item number G5, please do so at this time. Then I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. We'll now move to agenda H6, which is an ordinance.
Yes, this is a first reading, Mayor, and this is an ordinance of the City Council, the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the City of Palm Coast 2035 Comprehensive Plan as previously amended. This is pursuant to Section 163.3184 Florida Statutes and amends the future land use map, or FLUM, designation for a 5-acre more or less parcel of land more particularly described in Exhibit A to this ordinance. This parcel is located 1,800 feet north of Whiteview Parkway on the east side of US 1 from agriculture and timberlands, which is the Flagler County designation, to mixed use, which is the City of Palm Coast designation. This ordinance provides for codification, severability, and for an effective date. Mayor, Council, this is a legislative matter, not quasi-judicial.
Any council questions or discussions?
Nope, you don't get off that easy on this one, I'm afraid. This is actually a first reading, and so Jose does have a presentation. You have not seen this proposal until now. The presentation will cover both this item and the next item, which is a rezoning that's a partner together. So, Jose, please take it from here.
Good morning, Mayor and members of City Council.
Good morning.
Jose Papa for the Community Development Department Planning Division. The presentation, again, will cover both this item and the following item, which are companion items, comprehensive plan amendment, and a rezoning. The subject property is about 5 acres, about 1,400 feet north of Whiteview Parkway, right on US 1, on the east side of US 1. Property owner T. Rock in Florida. The property is currently vacant. For reference, if you're familiar with the Alamo storage and retail and office complex, this parcel is directly just north of that. So we have a future land use map amendment, which proposes to change the current FLUM designation of the property, which is currently agriculture and timberlands, which is a county designation, to the city designation of mixed use. As typical with any land use map amendment, we do a public facilities analysis, and based on a comparison of the proposed designation with the current designation, the end result is that there's really no significant increase in public facilities impact. And on top of that, when the property comes in for site plan review, additional more in-depth analysis will be required regarding the engineering specifics of providing facilities for that site. Reviewing the environmental factors, part of the property does lie within the floodplain, and since it is within the city, it will be required to meet the city's land development code regarding development within the floodplain. And that will come as part of the technical review for that site. Looking at the mixed use consistency with the surrounding land uses, as you can see to the north, to the northeast and to the south, you have mixed use designated properties, it's the areas in red. And across US 1 to the west are industrial land use designations, which are in unincorporated Flagler County. Reviewing for the proposal's consistency with the comprehensive plan policies, we find the request to be consistent with policies regarding the availability of infrastructure. Its location is appropriate within a major arterial. It promotes a land use pattern that does not increase the cost of providing utilities. Utilities are available to this site. And improving the balance of land uses, some additional non-residential uses in an appropriate location along US 1. So again, just to repeat those findings, no significant impact on the level of service or public infrastructure. It is consistent with the surrounding land uses, and the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The companion item to the future land use map amendment is a zoning map amendment. And in this case, what we're proposing is to change the current designation of agriculture, which is the old Flagler County designation, to a light industrial zoning district. And if you look at the surrounding land uses, the subject property is proposed to be light industrial, consistent with areas to the south, to the west, and generally consistent with the area to the north, which is also a non-residential designation of general commercial. There is a multifamily residential zoning to the east of the property, but this property is buffered from the light industrial uses or all the non-residential uses along US 1 by a wetland and conservation tract. And this consists of open space and wetland areas composed of about 300 feet. So you do have a 300-foot buffer between the multifamily and the non-residential uses along US 1. So reviewing the zoning map amendment for consistency with a comprehensive plan. Again, this is consistent with a comprehensive plan is that there is available infrastructure nearby. It does not cause significant financial liability or hardship on the city. Again, the utilities are available to serve this site at this time. Its impact upon environmental and natural resources. Again, it was there's some areas, portion of the area of the subject property within the floodplain, but that will be subject to further review at the project level or when they come in for site plan review. The zoning map amendment does not pose a threat to general health, safety, and welfare of the community, and it does comply, and it must still comply with other local, state, and federal regulations. It's still required to go through the site plan review process. Stated previously, it's compatible with the surrounding land uses, both in terms of the future land use map designation and the zoning map designation. And does it accomplish a legitimate public purpose? It provides commercial areas, again, along a major arterial, an appropriate site for that expansion of commercial uses. So based on those findings, planning staff and the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board recommend to the City Council the approval of the following. One, the future land use map amendment from agriculture and timberlands county designations to mixed use, the City of Palm Coast designation. And we also recommend approval of the rezoning from agriculture, the Flagler County designation, to light industrial, which is the City of Palm Coast designation. And the next steps, if approved today, both items would be required to go through a second reading. And if approved at second reading, then the subject parcel would still have to come in for site plan approval. That concludes staff presentation.
Council, any questions or comments?
Just one. Is there any, the landowner have any early future plans to develop that?
Yes, sir. It's really okay. What brought on this issue. They submitted a preliminary site plan, which. Yes, sir.
Now open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H6, please do so at this time.
Jack Carroll, what when you change a designation like this thing, how does that affect the taxing of that property? Does it do you change the way they're taxed? Do we make money on it? Let me put it that way.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, close public comment. Well, in this particular case, Jack, yes. Many years ago, some of the developers and large landowners in Flagler County designated their property agricultural to take advantage of not paying high tax on that property. This will actually increase the taxable value as well as what the city will generate once the designation is approved. That's correct?
Yes. The real increase comes when they go vertical and they build buildings on it. But yes.
Good question. Thank you. Okay. Council, any other questions or discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H7, this is an ordinance.
Yes, this is the corresponding rezoning, Mayor, as indicated by staff. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the official zoning map as established in Section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. This ordinance amends the official zoning map for 5 acres, more or less, of certain real property, describes tax parcel identification number 22113055435000020, generally located 1,800 feet north of Whiteview Parkway on the east side of US 1, being more particularly described in the Exhibit A attached to the ordinance. And this rezoning from agricultural, which is the Flagler County designation, to light industrial, or IND1, which is the City of Palm Coast designation zoning district. This provides for conflicts, for severability, provides for an effective date. Mayor, Council, this one is quasi-judicial, so if there have been any ex-party communications that you've received on this item, those need to be disclosed at this time.
Seeing none.
Mayor, City Council, this is was part of the previous presentation. We have no additional comments. We believe it's ready for action.
Now open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H7, please do so at this time. Now I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H8.
Last but not least, Mayor, this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, to annex property to be included within the corporate area and city limits of the City of Palm Coast upon adoption of this ordinance. This ordinance provides for the annexation of approximately 9.94 acres of property described in Exhibit A to the ordinance. This property lies in the areas approximate to the existing city limits of the City of Palm Coast, Flagler County, Florida. The ordinance provides for the annexation in accordance with the voluntary annexation provisions of Section 171.044 Florida statutes and provides for the annexation of real property and amendment of the corporate city limits. It provides for the rights and privileges resulting from the annexation, the effect of the annexation upon land uses, provides for an effect on ad valorem taxes, for the effect of businesses and occupations,
published.
Provides for conflicts, severability, and provides for an effective date.
Mayor, City Council, this is a parcel that's on US 1. If you can bear with me that US 1 goes north-south. In this case, it's kind of a diagonal, so it's just south of the S section. We'll not have any access to this property via the residential area, but it is contiguous just at our southern borders. The next item, which is a resolution, which is the annexation agreement, is very consistent with all our other annexations. They obviously want city services to for potential development in the future. Very, very consistent with what we've done with others. And we believe this is ready for approval.
Council, any questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H8, please do so at this time.
Good morning. I'm Kimberly Buck with the Allen Engineering Group. Represent the owners. I'm just here to answer any questions.
Next speaker. Close public comment. Take it back to this council. I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Now move to agenda item number I-9, which is a resolution approving a pre-annexation agreement with Corona Lands, LLC.
This is the companion to the ordinance that is once again consistent with all our other pre-annexation agreements that outlines really what we will do and what the landowner will do when they come into the city.
Council, any questions or comments on this item? And I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comment on agenda item number I-9, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number I-10, which is a resolution approving the 2018 state legislative priorities.
We're finally getting away from non-development. I think it's indicative of the activity we're seeing, with a lot of people coming in preparing for new development here in Palm Coast. State legislative priorities is an annual event. Bo takes the lead on this, and I'll let him give the presentation.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor and Council. Each year, the Northeast Florida Regional Council requests local legislative priorities, more regional in nature, from each of the counties and now municipalities as well. In addition, Flagler County asked for those priorities as well. This year, the mayor, in consultation with other cities, in order to provide a united front, had some input into our local legislative priorities here. And these are more regional and state in focus. And so, you know, just, you know, so you're aware, of course, during the legislative session, we monitor bills that are coming up and work with Florida League of Cities, as well as submit local projects for funding. So these are more of our regional priorities, more, you know, 30,000-foot priorities. And this year, consistent with what the other cities have proposed, our kind of constant is protect home rule, kind of leave us alone priority. Enhancing water and wastewater funding as a need is a statewide priority. And then finally, really local here, important to both Palm Coast and Flagler, is our beaches for not only their tourism, but ours as well. So that's the priorities that are drafted, consistent with what Bunnell and Flagler Beach, I think, have submitted as well. And so any questions or changes, we're more than happy to help.
Council, any questions or comments?
One question. So is this the bulk of this? Is this it? All we're proposing?
These are just for the regional document, Vice Mayor Nobile.
So then when we get to our representative, we'll, okay.
Absolutely. The specific, for example, under water and wastewater funding, we'll look for specific projects that line up with the governor and speaker's priorities and try to get those funded. So these are more broad in nature.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 10, please do so at this time. No one, I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council and entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number I-11, resolution approving price agreement with Armise Lime and Stone.
Mayor, City Council, next week would normally be on your consent calendar, but or agenda. But because Irma canceled our workshop, we put them on as resolutions. This is a typical price agreement for chemicals at our water treatment plants. If you want drinking water, we have to buy this, and obviously it's a price agreement, so we know what the price is for the full year. We recommend an approval.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Agenda item number I-11. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on this item, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number I-12. Resolution construction and testing to Connect Consulting Incorporated for the hydrological services and drilling of SW43R.
And the R means replacement. This is a well replacement out on US 1. The current well is at the corner of Matanzas and US 1, which is obviously a major corner for commercial development in the future. We have traded sites with the developer, plus they gave us the right to have discharge on their property for our wastewater plant. And part of that was we would replace the well here at the corner So this is all part of that contract we have.
Council, any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number I-12, please do so at this time.
Jack Carroll, Palm Coast. On this exchange, do we benefit or do we lose? Because I don't know what it costs to drill a well, and when you drill one, you got to disengage the other one in some way or another. So I'm just wondering what the difference is, and if it's going to cost us money. But a trade usually is, it's even-handed. I get one and you get one. So I'm just curious about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Mr. Leonard, you can ask.
Well, in this case, we gave one and we get two. Plus, more importantly, was the discharge area and it's right there in the swamp area just to the east of US 1, so we didn't have to pipe a long ways. Our cost is the cost for replacing the well. It was one of those wells that was probably going to have to be redone sometime soon. It's one of our older wells. So in my opinion, we got a very good deal out of this.
So it's not just the value. It's also the running costs that we're saving.
Yes. When you put the whole package together, it was a good thing for our utility.
Other comments or questions, council members? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number 13, a resolution approving a price agreement with Univar USA Incorporated for 25% sodium hydroxide membrane grade caustic. Mr. Landon.
More chemicals for our water treatment process. That's an annual price agreement, so it's set, went through bids, etc. Recommending approval.
Okay. Any questions or comments, Council? Open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comment on agenda item number I-13, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number J-14, discussion on the city manager's contract and executive search firm RFP timeline. I know that we've asked Mr. Reichman and Bo to come back with the firm.
Mayor, if I may introduce this, yes. It's actually a two-part presentation. One of them is you did ask our city attorney to present a timeline and process for hiring a selection firm, search firm, for a new city manager. And then also, Ms. Nobile wanted to talk about my contract. And so I have a little presentation on some of that, because there's a lot of misinformation out there and about my profession and how it works. So I, after Bill's finished, have some comments and some hopefully helpful insight as to how this crazy business works. So if we could have Bill start, and then I'll go from there.
Mayor, Council, back in a couple weeks ago, you asked for me to get with Bo and Virginia to bring back to you for your consideration a timeline. And specific is a timeline for the selection of a consultant who would go out and begin the process of finding applicants for your consideration for a replacement new city manager. And you asked us to take into consideration some of the things that are already on your plate this fall and this winter, including but not limited to the budget process, which you're in the middle of, as well as the charter review, which, as I'm sure you've looked on your calendars, we've got quite a few evenings that we're going to be meeting together. So with those things in mind, Bo and Virginia and I prepared, and it's before you at this time, this draft for your consideration. And you can see that it does take into consideration those two other significant tasks that I just mentioned, the budget and charter review. And with that in mind, this is really a two-step process. One is preparing the RFP to go out to select this consultant, this contractor, to then try to find applicants for your consideration for the city manager. And you'll see that we're going to begin that process in November and December. I believe you have already received a significant number of samples from Virginia of the types of RFPs that are out there. So I'm sure you've already started looking at those, and we're going to be it is our proposal to begin meeting with you in November and December, which would then lead to a council workshop in mid-December to get more direction from you on what you want in the RFP, which would then come back to you on January 9th, and then for your final consideration for the issuance of that RFP on January 16th. We would then advertise interested individuals or entities to respond to that request with a deadline of February 23rd. Soon thereafter, the initial scoring, and then we would have a short list on March 20th with presentations the very next week, and then a final ranking on April 3rd, which would bring back a contract on April 10th, which would then be, assuming all of this happens, we would then be entering into the contract for the RFP to initiate the actual process consistent with the RFP on April 17th. Again, this is taking into consideration the importance of this process, the importance of this contract, this contractor, this consultant, with all the other obligations of this council in mind. And this is for your consideration and further direction.
And then if we could just both move on to my slides, I'd appreciate it. The this is, it's always interesting to have your future be discussed publicly. It's one of those things that fairly unique in this job. Everybody has difficult conversations as a boss or as a subordinate. I get the privilege of having those conversations in front of TV cameras. But it's not uncommon. In this business, there's really three ways that you make a change with your city manager. And a lot of discussion, I hear a lot of comments. I kind of get a kick out of listening to them because I was fairly quiet because you all wanted to have that discussion amongst yourselves. I hear it out in public. But I've tried to summarize it into these three categories. First of all, city managers have contracts. One of the reasons they have a contract is because lots of times, just because of an election, someone says, well, I want to hire somebody different. Not because you're doing a bad job, not because you did anything wrong. It's just I want somebody different. And that's kind of what Mr. Nobile has said some degree. So, all right, I won't do that again.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
City Council, when that happens, you may just terminate the city manager's contract. There's a severance clause in my contract, which is very common because of this. But this is something that City Council unilaterally can determine when my last day is. This would have no transition period between current city manager and new city manager, so typically you would hire an interim city manager. It may be someone from within the director's level, in our case. If we had an assistant city manager, often as assistant city manager. And then, of course, in this case, the city manager gets his severance and accrued leave as per the contract. The second item, or second option, is basically working out with the city manager a termination agreement. It really isn't that uncommon. It's not the most common, where the city manager says, okay, if you want to make a change, I will stay on until you are able to hire a new city manager. And the actual date of that change usually happens later after you're further in the selection process. In this case, I'm very willing to do this. I've said that all along, if that's what you would like. But in essence, we agree on the termination date, and I still get a severance in my accrued leave because you're terminating the contract. That one is kind of a mutual agreement between city manager and city council. The third option is at the discretion of the city manager, and that is a city manager resigns or retires. And in this case, the city manager usually, if it's a retirement, gives city council plenty of notice in advance so that there can be a transition. If a city manager gets a new job, then usually that's a resignation, and typically I think my contract calls for a 30-day notice, and it's you don't have a transition with the next city manager because the current city manager is off to the new job. In this case, there's no severance, obviously, because you're leaving on your own, but there, you know, is provisions for any accrued leave that I would have. I'd get paid for that up to the limit of my contract. So those are kind of how you would make a change at city manager's level. To actually go out and start recruiting for a city manager without having one of these in place or one of these ideas so that the new city manager would take the job and I would lose my job, you won't get any applicants, at least no one with any credibility or what's the right term? No one is going to take a job with the idea that once I get the job, the other city manager's out. So you have to have one of these in place in order to get a qualified candidate, in my opinion. The other thing I wanted to talk about was timeline, because it's how you ask the question. How long does it take to hire a city manager? Well, there's really different steps, and that's where you get into the different links. But, you know, and it can vary. Very typically, I will tell you roughly what we say in this business, it takes about a year. Now, that is not hiring or being out on the street for a year. That's actually starting with this first process of hiring a selection firm. And I will tell you that a search firm, selection firm, is critical in this business. It's how the qualified people with good experience, it's what they expect, your really highly qualified people will only go for jobs that are being done through a search firm. As Bill just outlined, that process, any procurement process of hiring a professional for going through the different steps is 3 to 4 months. Once the search firm is on board, we usually say it typically 6 months. But as soon as you get into the holidays, if you're in the holidays or there's those type of things, it could be more. Also, there's not uncommon for city councils to say, well, we want to go back and actually interview some additional. So that's where you get into the 6 to 9 month period. Then once you select somebody, very seldom do they start tomorrow. They have their own job and very likely are going to be relocating. So before they start, it's a month to two before you actually see someone. And then if you do have a transition period with the new city manager, that can be either 30 days, 60, all the way up to 90 days. So this is where you get into your it takes about 12 months before you actually see someone sitting down and being fully prepared to take on the job. Once again, I've been fairly quiet about this, and this is something that is at the discretion of City Council. But I do have a comment that I feel very passionate about and feel obligated to comment on, and that is that this isn't just about me. This isn't just a reflection on me. You have those individuals in that back row back there that this is a reflection on them also. And a lot of comments about, well, the new person and what are they going to think and depending on the process. Well, this whole idea of actually cutting loose the leader of these individuals, I will tell you, they take it hard. And I am very fearful. In fact, I'm sure very likely we're going to lose some of them as a result of this process. If you think that we have a good team, and I look back at this last week of just what we do with Irma, we've got a fantastic team. I think sometimes people don't appreciate what we have here. And to break up this team, I think would not be good for this organization and this community. You don't have the kind of state and national recognition for a community our size very often. And it's because of these individuals and the individuals that stand with them who are taking this whole process, this whole conversation, very difficult. And I think your motion needs to be, we want to do everything we can to keep this team together. And that keeping this team, those individuals and the people that work with them, with showing your support for them and their leader, is extremely important for this organization, and I think that's what they deserve. Mayor, that's all my comments.
Thank you. Okay. Any member of the council want to ask any questions or open up any discussion?
I got plenty to say. First of all, we're talking about 2 years. So are you telling me in 2 years these people are leaving? I mean, you know, I'm sitting here thinking we're not. Gentleman came up and made a statement prior in favor of Mr. Landon, and I agreed with almost everything he said. I mean, he's not wrong. But we're not talking about keeping Mr. Landon. We're just talking about when he's leaving, and that's within the next 2 years. Okay? So what could happen now is going to happen in 2 years. So for all the negative spots, they're potentially going to happen anyway. Now, my issue with this scenario is not Mr. Landon. It is not how well he maintains the job and the organization he's built. It's about logistics because we are moving forward. We are moving forward. It's going to happen in 2 years, as you know, the city manager's stating he may retire in 2 years. I'm saying that's a bad time. We are going to be first in the middle of an election when we're going through this process. Second, we may potentially have two new council members who will then be in their first charge. It will be to pick a new city manager, okay? Without any experience, without any knowledge of how the city works or how any city works. That's not a good decision for the city or for those people in the back, because those people in the back are products of what Mr. Landon built. Mr. Landon is now maintaining that, and what I'm looking for is a move forward. That's all. I'm saying it's time to move forward, and we've all agreed it's time to move forward. All we're talking about now is a time frame. Does it happen now, or does it happen 2 years from now? Now, we're going to go into this process. We're talking about 7 months to pick a search firm. That's absurd, in my opinion. That's absurd that it would take 7 months. It's going to take us 2 to 3 months to find one, but it's going to take us 7 months to pick a company to help us search for one. I just feel like this whole thing is being put together to lay out the fact that we're not going to have to make a change until Mr. Landon retires. I don't like the process being taken out of the hands of the people. This council right here is what represents the people. Mr. Landon works at the pleasure of this council. Now, I'm getting a little tired of being told what I've said and how I feel. I'm looking out for the city. I have no vendetta against Mr. Landon. I don't dislike Mr. I like Mr. Landon, and I think he's doing a good job, but we're paying $200,000 for an organization to be maintained. We need an organization. We're at the precipice of it's time to move forward. That's going to take a different person. And we all agree. We all agree on that, I think. But what we've done is we've moved this out to 2 years. And the timing is wrong. We're just sitting here. We're going to be, like I said, in the middle of an election. We're going to be in the middle. And then, like I said, potentially we're going to have, you know, 5 council members, 3 of which will have 2 years experience and potentially 2 with a month or 2 experience with the city picking. And I have full confidence in the current council members. I'm not saying, but 2 years is, you know, 2 years, and I don't have much more. I'll have 4 years, but it'll be a little more. This process has bothered me that we have, again, allowed the dictation of the city manager to tell us what we're going to do, and that's what it seems like it boiled down to. And I'm only doing what I'm doing because I believe it's best for the city. Again, I'm not firing Mr. Landon because he's I'm not asking for Mr. Landon to be terminated because he's incompetent. I'm saying it's time to move on, and it's already a done deal. It is not going to happen. Mr. Landon is not going to be here for another 10 years. He's retiring in 2 years. He's retiring right after an election, and and the process to search is going to be during an election, and it is just not a good idea. And it is time for us to start moving forward. You know, I brought up last week, we talked about hiring a development and the council's response to me asking to wait on that was, no, we can't wait. We got to get this going. So I'm trying to figure out, so hiring that guy, we need to get going, but getting the new city manager who's going to move us in that direction is not important to get going. So I'm getting mixed messages, and I'm just feeling like I need to do this because this is what's best for the city. Those are the only comments I have, ma'am.
Any other comments or questions?
I just want to say the same thing. I mean, I look at the list of the dates and saying that these are the only dates that we could use because we're so busy, and I'm looking at my November schedule. It's not that busy. I think we can make this quicker than it has to be, and it just seems like if I was going to lose my job, that's what I would do. Say it's going to take a really long time to find somebody, and if I leave, everyone behind me is going to leave too. And that's kind of like a threat, saying if I leave, everyone's leaving. And it just puts a bad note on the whole thing where it was supposed to be. We liked what Jim Linden was doing. We wanted something different. We all said that at the meeting, that we felt he was doing a good job with what he was doing, but we just wanted something different. And now it's turned into threats of people walking off the job, and it's going to take, you know, I didn't take that long to find Jim Landon. So I really have a problem with the way this whole thing is turning into now. And it just needs to go faster.
comments or questions? Open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comments on agenda item number J14, please do so at this time.
Lewis McCarthy, Palm Coast. You know, I say to my kids who like to rush into things, sit back and observe what you're doing. Don't precipitously, ooh, gee, that's a big word, rush into things. Now, he didn't say that the people in the back were going to leave. You said it. All he said was that people evaluate. And I know myself working for years and seeing this person come in who knew nothing, who didn't cohere with the people who were there. And what would happen was people who had experience and or whatever moved on. And they moved on because the person coming in came in so fast that they didn't understand what was going on. And a lot of times you say move now, yeah, move now. Everything is this move now business. Look, you have to get somebody in who will blend in, who will bring in their own thing, but they won't do it in such a way that they kill the baby with the bathwater. They won't knock down everything and then try to put it back together. That's a time-consuming thing, and you want somebody with a certain amount of experience and a certain amount of youth. But you don't want somebody to come in who says, I'm coming in, you people back there, if you don't like it, leave. And that's exactly what will happen, and the city will have chaos. Chaos we don't need. I think the blend when Mr. Lannon came in from Mr. Kelton was a blend. He slowly built. He didn't come in and knock down this and knock down that. He saw what Mr. Kelton had built up to here and said, I can put it up to here. That's the type of person I want. I want somebody that's going to build from here.
Thank you for your comments.
And work his way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Ronnie Burris, and I'm the business agent of Local 630, and I represent the City of Palm Coast Public Works and Public Utilities workers. And first of all, let me say that I don't think Mr. Landon has done a bad job. But I also want to say that this is 2017. He came here in 2007. It's 2017. Things have changed. Times have changed. I'm going to ask you to look right back there today and show me one black face that is on his crew. Who has he appointed that is black? Nobody. He's not diversified. That shows that Palm Coast is not diversified. You as the city council, you have an obligation and laws to live by. After a period of time, it becomes my team. It becomes mine. It does not become what's best for us. It becomes what's best for me. Again, Mr. Landon, I looked your history up. I think he's done a great job. But I think it's 2017. He's been here 10 years. And I think that it's time that Mr. Landon realize that It's not a his city. Palm Coast does not belong to him. It belongs to the taxpayers. And from him to the person that sweeps the floors, it belongs to all of y'all. I don't live here, but I do represent the employees that live here. And you work and works for you. And I think that that's what needs to be thought about, is what's best for the city of Palm Coast. And I think that you need a more diversified workforce. I think that if you sat down and started looking at Mr. Landon's, some of his people that he's hired, and asked how much public employment experience did they have prior to working for the city of Palm Coast, I think you're going to ask, if you ask how many have public employment experience where public employment unions are involved, I'm nobody's enemy. My members want Palm Coast to be the best place to work, the best place to live. And you talk about what they did last week, look at what my members did last week.
Your comments, next speaker.
Charles Ebert, Palm Coast, Mayor and Councilman. Mayor, in our special meeting that you had, and all your comments that you made that day are correct, and they're very favorable with Mr. Linden. But again, we need to move forward, and we need to move forward in a speedy manner, not wait around until we get all involved in all other things, and then we do not have the selection that we really want to have. Do we really want to have a Mr. Linden and his qualities that he has? Or do we just want some Joe Schmo off the street? Now it's time for us to get down and get busy with this. We know he's going to retire. He's already advised us that he's going to retire. And I'm sorry that 100,000 people that live here in Palm Coast can't come to these damn meetings. They rely on some of your councilmen to email you and say, hey, well, you know, wait a minute. Come here and speak your piece. Now, the directors in the rear had that problem, which Mr. Linden says. Well, we already know the fire chief's retiring. So, come on, guys. We need to move forward. You know, if you're scared of the money, well, you know what? How much money have we been spending so far? You know, Jack and them guys speak all the time about money. Okay, we spend all kinds of money this time. And I'm sorry to raise my voice. I'm in a little bit in pain. But we need to move forward. We don't need to sit back on our rear ends and not do this. His severance pay, hey, you know what? None of you councilmen have anything to do with it. It's your prior people did that. Okay? So now we just need to move forward. You showed him that you were worthy because you turned down one raise for him and you gave him more money. So we understand that. But, you know, for us few people that come here and speak and so forth and have our own agendas and so forth, but we need to move this process forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Jack Carroll, Palm Coast. First thing I want to say is I take offense to what the union man said. No, you hire people not by color. You hire people by what they know and how well they can do a job. You know, that statement was a little bit out of line for him. Now, this is a very important move that the council is making. I mean, it's a serious move, because the man that takes Mr. Landon's place has got to know what he's doing. He's got to be able to answer your questions. He's got to be able to describe what he's doing. Not that he's going to learn the job and then do it after a year. So this thing doesn't take a month, 2 months. It takes as long as it has to take. If you're putting a time limit, you're not going to get a good man. You're not going to get a man better than Landon if you're going to put a time limit on it. I say go slow, go easy, and get the right man for the job. Now, if it's, and like I say, color doesn't mean nothing. If he knows what he's doing, he could be purple. So,
thank you
for
your
take
comments.
Your time, don't rush. Haste makes waste.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Good morning again, George Mayo, Palm Coast. Looking at the timeline that Mr. Reichman proposed, to me does not seem unreasonable. We do not have a city manager that is under criminal investigation or conspiracy or any problems going on. Everybody here has admitted he's doing a good job. So if we were in a hurry to find a new manager within 3 months, isn't it possible that somebody out there might say, gee, maybe I don't want to apply for this because why are they in a big hurry to get rid of this man if they say the city is being run very well, in a good condition? Maybe that's a situation I don't want to apply for. So is something we will never know, because if they don't apply, it is possible we could miss out on a valuable candidate. What was the other thing? It'll come to me. Wait 1 second. I'm sorry. Oh, the other question was, Mr. Nobile pointed out that it's possible we may have two new council members. That goes to the question of a similar vein statewide, where one and possibly two Supreme Court judges have said they're going to retire on the day before the new governor is installed, leaving Governor Scott to say, I will appoint the two new Supreme Court judges because the election will have passed, and that is going through the courts now, whether that is legal or not, since the voters vote for the Supreme Court. So are we going to say, is it really right for possible two council members here who may not be here to hire a new manager, or would it be better to have two new council members who are going to work with the new manager going forward to have a say in hiring the new manager? You know, that seems to me to be more viable. Should somebody who may be outgoing have a say in who's being hired? You know, if there's any animosity, they'll say, well, gee, you know, I want this guy instead of this guy. I would think going forward, somebody who's going to work with the new manager seems a little more viable. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. All your comments are duly noted. There's no questions that we need to answer. I'm sure the council was listening. Okay, council members.
One more statement.
Yes.
What the gentleman brought up just now is another potential issue. Again, what I'm talking about are logistics. So the current council may be doing all the interviewing, and then the interviews may be over, and two council members who did the interviewing aren't here anymore. This doesn't work. The timing of this is just not proper, and we need to adjust that and fix that. I want to make sure nobody else has anything. So with that in mind, I would like to make a motion that we terminate the current city manager's contract effective 60 days from today.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Nay.
Nay.
Motion fails.
Mayor, I would ask for a roll call, please.
Roll call, please.
Yeah, that's...
Vice Mayor.
No, yes. Doink.
Councilmember Cuff?
No.
Councilmember Clufus?
Nay.
Councilmember Shipley?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Nay.
Mayor, the motion fails. 3-2.
And that's it for that. Okay?
Well, I mean, if I hope you...
I said it last week.
I hope you stay with that. Because that would be very much appreciated.
I just want to say to Mr. Landon, or to you out there, this is not a vendetta against Mr. Landon. I am now, since this failed, looks like Mr. Landon will be here for the next 2 years till he retires. I am going to work with him. Just like I have previous, there are, you know, this was not about, this is a professional process. And my statement is, I just want everybody to know, I'm working with Mr. Landon as long as I'm here and he's here, to make this city a better place. And I just, so that the emails don't come.
Can I make one comment too? Do we have the timeline, and I'm sure we do, for when the charter review will be complete?
Yes, we do.
I don't know the date off the top of my head. I know that we're starting the meetings.
That was a January?
Yes.
I think it was
supposed
to be complete.
Yeah, we're going to be having a lot of meetings starting the end of this month, going through October and November.
Yeah.
I think some, and then there's some of those meetings are going to be held with the public. Well, I mean, they're all in the public, but they're going to be away from here. They've been set up accordingly. And then, of course, obviously, once we get all the input, I know that there's, if I'm not mistaken, there's a request for input right now on the website. So once we get all that back, then it'll be up to the council to take all of that into consideration and work on that.
The reason I bring it up for consideration is because we're potentially changing the framework and the structure for which our city government also operates. We're potentially changing the role of how a city manager operates in our city charter. I just want to make sure that we're all open to that process isn't going to be complete until January.
Right. Well, then the voters have to vote on it if you put
it's
something on the ballot. Yeah. So it doesn't actually go into effect until the
end. It's a referendum.
I just want to make sure we all have that in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Mayor, just one. I just want to confirm one thing. I think I know the answer, but what I discussed was a proposal. And so unless I'm hearing something to the contrary, I'm going to be working with Bo and Virginia to fulfill that agenda, that time frame that I described today. I just want to make sure that the three of us are receiving that direction this morning. Okay, thank you very much.
We'll now move on to agenda item number J15, appoint 3 members for the Code Enforcement Board.
Mayor, if I could point out one interesting quirk about this is that this board has alternates, which are people who make sure they have a quorum, get to vote to fill other people who cannot make it. There are 3 positions vacant. All 3 of them, the incumbents have not reapplied. There is Mr. Roberts, who is an alternate. If you appoint Mr. Roberts, then you will need to appoint his replacement as an alternate, okay? So you have a potential for one of these being designated as an alternate.
All right, so I need some clarification. This is my first time appointing anyone to the Code Enforcement Board. So this is a board that designates districts? Are you asking, it's districts?
Well,
do they have to live within
the district?
Okay, yeah. So they don't have to.
They don't have to.
Right.
It's always been a city council policy to try to make sure all districts are represented. Virginia, are we voting for 3 or 1 at this time?
3.
Okay, so if you'll mark down 3, and then anybody that gets 3 votes would be appointed. And this is going to get complicated. Trust me, this is just what we do.
As far as, to your point, Madam Mayor, in your agenda item, under the code, section 2.205, these are the considerations that the code requires in the selection, and that is the residents of the city, obviously, appointments based on experience, interest in the subject matter, composition of the board shall, whenever possible, include an architect, business person, engineer, general contractor, subcontractor, and realtor. That's not always possible, but that's what our code has said. And you'll find that that's pretty common in almost all local governments, reflected in the state statutes as well.
Are you going to collect these?
Yeah, they usually fold in half and send down.
I won't look.
One more coming.
Like high school where they grade the test in front of you.
You pass, get to leave.
Okay, so we have one vote for Mr. Arcimone. We have two for Mr. Dodzik, zero for DeMaria, one for Mazzello, four for Nets, three for Poulos, and four for Mr. Roberts. So we do have a majority for Nets, Poulos, and Roberts.
I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, so
means the alternate seat is now open, and I have just a second to cross those off.
Good.
You have to re-vote on the alternate.
No, yeah, there'll be another one where one of these remaining people will be an alternate.
That's
because there wasn't a majority for.
Because no. Dean Robert was an alternate between
Well, I'm not getting
those three again. Virginia, that received a majority vote and.
I'm sorry?
Could you name the three again that received the majority vote?
Nets, Poulos, and Roberts.
How frequently does the alternate actually actively participate or the role of an alternate? Is it in case of absence, or is it if they're not?
Bill Reichman will answer that.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very rare. It's how it works is that the code enforcement staff and the person that from the clerk's office that contacts the members, reminds them that there's a meeting so that they can get a quorum. If in response to those inquiries they know that they're not going to be able to get a quorum, that's usually when the alternate is because sometimes you don't know until when the meeting starts at 10 o'clock whether or not you're going to have people there. So it's usually just to fulfill a quorum if they know that there's going to be a struggle to have that. It's happened probably I've been a couple times, not a lot.
Before we take a motion, I'll open it up to the public for any public wants to make comments on agenda item number J15. Please do so at this time. Comment.
We're going to vote on the whole package, the three and the alternate.
That's correct. Once we get the voting out of the way, then we'll have, if you don't mind, we'll do one motion.
Push button. All those in favor, they should come up, do a dance.
Getting a little worried there, but we got three for Mr. Dodzik as the alternate.
Move approval.
And just for the record, can you just name those, Virginia, just so we know?
The votes?
Yes.
Sure. One for Mr. Arakome, three for Mr. Dodzik, and one for Mr. DeMaria.
But name the three members and one alternate is what I think she's asking.
The three appoint, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Mr. Netz, Mr. Poulos, and Mr. Roberts are your regular members, and Mr. Dodzik is the alternate.
Okay. Motion second, and all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, passes unanimously. Now move to agenda item number J16.
Mayor, City Council, this is where you are the selection committee for professional services, in this case a state lobbyist. Our contract is up with our current lobbyist, and so you ask that you go out, request proposals, and select a potential replacement, or our current lobbyist is one of those that submitted a proposal. This is really a two-step process. One of them is you start by ranking. If there's one that really kind of stands out and everybody's in favor of, then it makes it easy. If in your case, you're all over the board, as you're going to see. And so then the second process kicks in, and that is interviews. So today we're not asking for you to actually select somebody. We're strongly suggesting it would be appropriate to have interviews. And so Bo's going to walk you through why there's not a clear front runner here. And the second process is really how we normally we'll make a selection when there's not a clear front runner. So, Bo, take it from here.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor and Council. Once again, this is in regards to the evaluation for the request for proposals for state lobbyist services. You did receive four proposals that were deemed to be responsive and responsible. You are actually part of the evaluation committee that scored on four of the five criteria here. The project cost was scored by a staff member in Central Services, since it's just simple math. It's not subjective in nature, but you did score 80 points of the 100, being the scope of services, understanding and approach, staff qualifications, firm's experience and ability, and firm's past performance. And so, as Mr. Landon stated, we typically look at what the total scores are, and as you'll see from this table, each one of the four firms was one of your top scoring firms. So typically, as procurement coordinators get this information, what we try to do is reach a consensus of who might be the top scored firm. In this case, and not uncommon, to be quite honest with you, when you have five different people, you sometimes get five different scores. This includes the pricing, so you would have scored 80 of the 100 points, just so you're aware. So when we look at this, we try to look at different ways to see maybe sometimes it could be a difference in sort of whether you're a hard teacher or, you know, a softie in the grading. So we take a look at that. I did one scenario where we pulled out the pricing, and this would be basically what your scores were. And once again, still quite a range of scores and who might be the top-ranked proposal.
Pricing included in the previous scores?
Yes.
The previous scores, would you mind going back one slide?
Sure. On this one?
Yes. So these were the total scores that we had on Bonfire?
Yeah, you would have only seen 80 of the 100 points.
Okay.
Because everyone's, you can't see each other's scores. That's part of, otherwise it'd be a violation of sunshine. So you wouldn't have seen the pricing score. I'll tell you, Pittman Law Group had the lowest price proposal, so they got 15 points for that section, I believe. And then so
there's a little discrepancy there from what I understood I was doing, because I made sure that my scores ranked them in order that I thought they were qualified.
Okay.
I didn't understand that there was a hidden number that included pricing beforehand. I thought as long as my scores indicated the order, that's why some of these scores are only off by 1 point, because to differentiate in my mind second place from third place takes
right.
just 1 point.
And that's not uncommon, Mr. Kloofus, and that's why I brought up the second slide to show you without pricing, since this is a professional service. You know, in some services we're not allowed to consider pricing. For state lobbyists we are, so we kind of always do. That being said, it can always be negotiated post-award as well. So I wanted to show you, obviously, Pittman Law Group without pricing drops off as the lowest, actually. And then look at a couple different scenarios to try to gain consensus. We converted your scoring to rankings with the pricing. And once again, that doesn't really give us a clear winner either. And then same way without pricing as well. And you'll see Pittman does drop off in this scenario as well. Because of the pricing, they were significantly lower than the other respondents. With that being said, typically when we get to this point with an evaluation group of staff, if there's any discussion or wishes to change scoring, we do that. With four proposals all being in-state, you know, I typically recommend to the committee to just have them all come in for interviews since there's quite a difference of opinion.
Without the pricing, let me just ask this, because we currently pay our lobbyists $45,000 annually. What did the pricing come in? Can you just tell me?
If I remember correctly, I think Pittman and was $25,000, and the rest were right in that $45,000, $50,000 range, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, and let me talk a little bit about my thought process. I think if you're going to pay $25,000 for a state lobbyist, you're going to get $25,000 for a state lobbyist that's not very effective. In the world of lobbying, you know, I'd rather pay nothing for that service because that's really going to be the end result. So, you know, having been in this industry and understanding the dynamic of what I believe we need, and I'm going to be very direct in my statements, in meeting with both Representative Renner and Senator Hudson, we know this is going to be another tight budget year legislatively. I think one of our number one priorities continues to be a lift for our utility funding for different projects that are unfunded mandates, because there's been legislation that's been passed historically that requires us to upgrade our systems and well fields and those sort of things without any funding attached to it. So funding is going to be a big key issue for us. We didn't get the funding last year. They've changed the legislative process a bit. The House now requires that you put it in a bill, which our legislative delegation is going to pick and choose which projects they're going to take on. And I think when I look at a lobbying firm, I think the greatest strategy that we could lay out is, quite frankly, giving both our legislative delegates a big lift in Tallahassee. And I think that requires a large firm to do that. Gray Robinson, I'm familiar with, it's and a larger firm as well. But obviously, I'm familiar with Southern Strategy Group, and I know that they have five offices throughout the state of Florida. So when you're talking about a South Florida, North Florida, it's really good when you have lobbyists in those areas to work with legislative delegates to garner support for our position up to the north, because oftentimes we lose out when we're fighting against Miami that has a very, very strong political presence in Tallahassee. So those are my thoughts. I'm fine doing the interviews, but, you know, it's not going to be necessarily, the pricing is so close, and we can negotiate it following, so pricing is not going to be at the top of my priority when I went into this process. It really is a strategic positioning of our legislative priorities that we do every single year, and we're fighting for dollars with every community, 412 cities and 67 counties every legislative year, and this is going to be once again like no other. So we have policy decisions, but you know, we all said that we wanted people, lobbyists that had also good relationships with our legislative delegation, and that's really where my thinking came in. So,
quick question. So, may I? So these scores are not distinct enough to make a clear decision.
No, let me...
Because there's a standard deviation difference between the top and the bottom ranking.
As a evaluation committee, of course, city council, you can decide to, based on these score, you can change the scoring, you can change the ranking at this time because we're in a public meeting, while individually you couldn't do that. You can decide that we don't need any presentations, we want to go with any one of these four firms for these reasons. You can decide, really, I think the top two, based on you know, this information, our discussion today is A and B, and we want to bring them in for presentations.
Is there a value that you use to discern when scores are distinct enough, and is that measure one standard deviation or is that multiple standard deviations?
It's totally up to this group. We've had, for example, there was only four submittals in this bid. We've had where there's 10 and there's not a real good, and we just pick a breaking point to basically say you can't invite 10 firms to spend money and come travel here and present. So it's just trying to get you to the best decision possible, and so it's really, you know, up to the group. I mean, there's just my last slide, you know, you can invite all the firms to present. You can select one and go ahead and negotiate with that firm. Or you can take a look at the different scenarios we've heard concern about looking at pricing and being able to negotiate. And you can basically look at that ranking and invite those top two or three firms. So it's really up to City Council as the evaluation team. I'm just here to try to help you get to that decision point.
On an offshoot, though, I think we may have to investigate the process after we move forward with this, because that's a real vulnerability if there's not a standardized process for determining whether or not we would invite a firm, whether it comes to us or a scoring committee. But that's for another time.
Yep.
The fact of it is, because it is not just a bid, there is some discretion, mm-hmm. and there is some of that conversation back and forth. And that's why we like interviews, is because after you do the interviews, then that's when you have a discussion, and it's not just a number, but it's actually which firm you feel most comfortable with.
It's also not a piece of paper at that point. Right now you're, you know, really evaluating based on a piece of paper and what they put in their proposal. This service obviously is going to be a personal relationship service, you know, working in Tallahassee on behalf of City Council. So. I would highly recommend that you definitely interview at least two, but if you feel confident based on the written materials of which firm you like to select, then we're able to do that too. Our rules and policies.
Oh, is time frame wise. I mean, we've got committees that are starting. I mean, this is a really critical issue for us. We have got to start having these conversations. Bills are being discussed, they're being, you know, thrown around, they're being voted on as far as policy decisions, and, you know, the more we wait, we're behind the eight ball. I mean, less than 14% of all bills filed at the end of session are actually passed. So, you know, this, I think this is a really important issue for us, and especially when we're going in and asking for dollars. And, you know, again, I base my decision on a strategic positioning, and I think this will provide us one. So I'm fine with whatever the council decides, but as far as interviews or not interviews.
I went through this process, and I mean, all four, what I did was obviously didn't look for price because there was no price, but the prices were there. You had access to the pricing to see it. And, I mean, these companies on paper were very similar. I mean, experiences, backgrounds, previous cust clients, successes. I mean, I looked at, you know, there was one I kind of didn't, I mean, I kind of didn't like the professionalism of the proposal. But the data is almost identical. So I don't know how, with that, you would make a clear without actually being able to talk to them and, you know, a representative and understand, you know, how are you going to benefit Palm Coast? Because that really was, you know, everybody had their generic statements, they had their generic, so, you know, nobody actually stood out like, wow, this is the company that, you know, they've done more than anyone. And so I personally would prefer to actually talk to them. But keeping the mayor's concerns and like, it needs to happen like bang, you know, and so this way we can get that done and move on.
Anticipating that all the firms are on notice that should they be shortlisted today, that they'll be presenting at your next workshop, as part of your next workshop, just so you're aware.
So the two options would be you make a decision on one of them today or interview next week, and this will be on your business.
When we say interview, we mean them coming to the workshop.
Yes, they come to the workshop.
All right. Okay, so that would be it. And then we can make the decision the following week.
Well, I mean, are we going to have all four that presented come? I mean, are we going
to... We don't have to.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, one is the highest based on pricing, but they came in the lowest as far as actually, you know, qualifications. So I'm not sure that that makes a lot of sense as far as inviting all four. I'm fine with, you know, inviting, you know, the top two that we can decide on or three, but I think the fourth is would be futile and a waste of their time.
I concur with the fourth.
Yeah, I mean...
May I ask a question? The pricing, how is that formulated? Because I'm trying to figure out in my head the weights, and I'm trying to recall the prices. But Pittman drops off when pricing isn't considered, but it's enough to put it back on top when it is considered?
Right, because the scoring was so close. So the if I recall correctly, the lowest-ranked proposal gets the full scoring, and then it's percentages difference from there. So the next two, I think, got 7 points, and the final one got five, I think. And it's based on the difference from the lowest cost proposal. So it's a percentage basis. It's laid out. All the scoring was done according to the guidelines in the RFP. And then from there, the committee in the public setting has the opportunity to discuss, change the scoring and or ranking, and determine whether to shortlist firms. And it's really dependent upon the service. You know, this is much less technical in nature than a lot of other services that we have.
Well, I would like to see, personally, I would like to see the top three, but I'd also like to see a restriction on their presentation time.
Well, definitely we'll do that.
Okay.
They're used to that, yes.
Okay. And, you know, we could probably get through this pretty quick next week and then vote on it the following week, if everybody else.
We're recommending two or three. Yeah. So whatever you like.
I think the only reason I'm saying the three is I just want to give our current...
Doug Bell a chance.
Yeah, right.
That's not uncommon either, is that at least let the incumbent come and chat with you.
Any comments?
I understand the need for speed, but, you know, as we've discussed, either we're going to vote on this today, I guess, and I don't see a clear consensus on who that would be, or we interview somebody. So I guess but I agree. To me, price, I don't want to say price is irrelevant. I've been accused of being a high roller a couple of times, and that's not the vision I have of myself. But in this case, the difference of $10,000 or $15,000 giving someone that was otherwise the lowest ranked of the four that big a leg up in the rankings, it does seem a little illogical to me. I mean, I would favor going with presentations from the groups listed in C, which are the top three, without price ranking, since, as I recall, with all three of them, the price is almost irrelevant. Their prices were either, I don't even know how they ranked
them,
frankly.
$5,000.
Yeah, I mean, they were practically the same price, see which one of those impresses us the most, I guess. But I would feel more confident making a selection after hearing them. I mean, if they're going to pitch us to the legislature, they got to be able to pitch themselves to us first, I think.
So am I hearing correctly, Mayor, that we'll invite the top three under C, and then how does a 10-minute time limit for presentation, 10 minutes for questions sound? We typically give the firm some parameters, or do you want to have?
I think, frankly, I mean, up to 10 minutes is probably reasonable and open for question and answer session, but... Okay, so do we need to take form? I guess
We just need direction because there's no formal action here. So what I heard was that we were going to do interviews. I'm not I heard a couple say three. Is that, I need...
Fine with three.
Okay. So we do the three under C in front of you. And we would have a 10-minute clock with question and answers, all depending on how many questions and answers you have. We won't put a clock on that, but that would be kind of up to you. And we'll do that next workshop, and then have it on the agenda for final action. So you won't actually make a decision at that one, but you'll discuss it, and then we'll put something on the agenda for the next business meeting. We good with that?
Yep.
Any member from the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number J16, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll take it to agenda item number K, which is public participation for the remainder of public comments on items not on the agenda. And I think we're not taking public comment on the front and the back by one person. We've agreed that it's the beginning of the meeting. If you're speaking, that's what we discussed.
I didn't understand. Say,
I think what she's saying is that you get one bite at the apple. Okay. So if you made public comment at the beginning, you know, you can always make comment during the agenda items, but you don't get another shot at the apple. We opened it so that people who can't stay can make their comments and then go, you know, if they're under kind. But if you want to sit through the whole agenda, you sit through the agenda and then you make your comments at the end. So one shot.
So any other member from the public wish to make public comment?
Yeah. Again, my name is Ronnie Burris, and I'm the business agent for Local 630. And I represent the public employees of the Palm Coast. And I just want to tell each and every one of you how proud I am of the employees that got out here and worked the trees and worked the storm, made sure you had water and the sewer stayed off the ground. One thing that kind of disturbed me at the last meeting, and it has disturbed some of my members, is that the mayor, when there was a discussion about housing and affordable housing, not once did she mention public employees for the city of Palm Coast, nor did she mention firefighters for the city of Palm Coast. What she quoted was, she knows police officers and teachers that need help with public housing and housing in Palm Coast. That was really disturbing to them and to me, because on Saturdays and Sundays when she was asking to be elected and they worked with her and walked with her, and now she has forgotten that they walked with her and helped her and can't even recognize the fact that they also need help in housing. I think that was wrong of the mayor to forget those people and those employees that work for this city, not for the county, not work for Flagler County. So I just wanted to say that, and because that has really been bothering me and several of my members that have discussed this with me. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Thank you for your comments.
Mayor, I would like to respond to that, because we all use examples. But I don't know of an elected official that's more supportive of the employees as Mayor Holland. And Mr. Burris, for you to get up here and criticize her when you're from Jacksonville and you haven't got a clue as to what this mayor is all about is inappropriate and offensive. And, Mayor, I apologize. I you should not have to put up with this. And it's very disappointing that you would get up here and criticize someone who is extremely supportive of city employees. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Member Cuff.
Well, I usually pass for this, but given what we've just been through, I don't want to belabor it, but you know, I was very impressed by the response of the staff, including all of our employees that I am aware of from top to bottom in the recent hurricane. If we're going to have one of these every fall, I think we're going to be really good at responding to them after the next two or three. But there are some budgetary concerns, but to be serious, you know, having your toilets flush, although not as often as you might like, having your water stay potable, having the crews out there risking their safety clearing the roads and clearing the power lines, which I always naively thought was a job FPNL did as part of their service to keep the power reconnected. The fire department, the sheriff's department, I know they're not our employees, but the whole team. I was even more impressed than I was last year, and I'd only been on the council for about a month or two back then. So I know we'll have a further discussion of this. I look forward to some more, you know, after-action reports and things. There are items that I, as a council member, want to talk about a little, but not today. But I mean, things like some of the smaller assisted living facilities in town and whether they're prioritized for power and emergency services the way they need to be, communications with FPL, which we can spend a whole meeting on, I'm sure. But in general, for whatever my opinion is worth, I say well done to, as I say, from the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom. Very impressed.
Your comments. Vice Mayor Nobile.
Just a minute. I want to concur with Mr. Cuff. The people we have best in the state, probably in the country. I was out helping people and, you know, cleaning up for 2 days in the bugs with the water and all that. And I said, yeah, okay, never mind. And, you know, so I started packing food. But, you know, they've been doing that for, you know, 8 days. And I have no air conditioning, and I still feel better off than those guys out there. And the job they're doing is super, and just want to give them that, you know, that slap on the butt saying good job.
Thank you.
My comments are in alignment with the two previous gentlemen, but also my heart continues to go out to the Flagler Beach residents who still have water in their homes. That's brutal. So let's keep helping everybody where we can.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm always last, and all I can say is yes, everything that they say, and just to keep you know, say prayers for the people that are still in that position, who still don't have electricity, who can't go home to their homes and feel comfortable when we're all comfortable now. And that I think everybody did a great job in all our departments. And I didn't, last hurricane, I went out as right after it was happening, and I saw all the trees down, and I was amazed the next day everything was done. This time I didn't go out. And by the time I did go out, it looked like nothing had even happened around here until you see all the stuff go out to the curb, and then you know something happened. But great job, and it's not like any other city when we go out and travel. But that's it.
And I concur. I think our staff did an outstanding job. They were up for how many hours straight? I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was 36 hours, I think, at one time, without sleep, and they kept going. And I think the incident action plan, frankly, is something that we should be very proud of, because there was a lot of pre-work that took place that our residents did not necessarily see. But once the storm actually, you know, came closer and closer, and everything that was implemented was done unbelievably seamlessly. Everyone had a job, a role. Everyone knew what their role was. Everyone was supportive. Communication was strong. We partnered with Flagler County well. I just really cannot say enough about how everything was executed. And having you know, to drive several hours every day to another community, I can tell you along the way, it looks like bombs had gone off in those communities, and still without even streetlights in those communities. So thank you for all your hard work and leadership, and to everyone from every single department under our city. I'm very proud to be sitting up here, and very proud that our residents get the leadership they have. So thank you. Okay. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Just a brief follow-up. Councilmember Koff, you indicated your concern about some of the smaller assisted living facilities, and of course that's a concern that's you've heard throughout the state of Florida, given some of the very unfortunate results from the last hurricane. Driving in this morning, and I haven't had an opportunity to independently verify this, but I have heard that the governor issued an emergency order that required assisted living facilities to have in place generators within 60 days. So I think that's important. It may not address all of your concerns, and you may have already been aware of that, council member, but I just wanted to say that for the public. And so hopefully that will go through, and that'll be one less concern given the terrible consequences.
Well, I will say that the president of FPNL did indicate that he would be happy to march to Tallahassee shoulder to shoulder with local elected officials to create some swift legislation that requires these facilities not only to have that emergency evacuation plan, but have the elements there to remain running. So I had received a few emails myself of concerns by residents where they had residents, their family members in these facilities that were without power without days. So it does need to be addressed, and hopefully legislatively we can be very strong in our action as well.
That's it, Mayor.
Thank you. Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
I appreciate all the comments, and obviously very proud of the team. I can't tell you how great it is to work with them, and these are the type of times when you really get appreciation for how they work together. And you know, like you all have said, not just the field, the boots on the ground, but the people in the back room, if you will, whether that's serving meals or just keeping it running. But I would like to talk a little bit about some details. It is our understanding from FPNL that everybody in Palm Coast should have power. So if anybody, you know of anybody that doesn't have power, please let Kendra know. She's kind of been the point now at this point where she has a contact at FPNL that will figure out why they don't have power, because everybody should have power at this point. So the next main focus, because as you've talked about, you know, we went through that Friday where we have priorities. Our priority right now is going to be the debris cleanup along the streets. I listen to the radio or TV, I'm not sure what, news programs, and they talk about, well, this community is going to start Thursday and this community is going to start next weekend or next week. We started today. Actually, in my opinion, we started last week because of a lot of the refrigerators being emptied out, a lot of the bags. Waste Pro worked Saturday to get the regular trash all picked up because of the heavy volume. And we told them that was priority because stinky trash is a whole lot worse than some limbs and leaves out front. So they have been very cooperative in making sure that they stay after it. Yesterday, Monday, they started with their trees removal equipment, that the claws that come down and put it in the truck. But they're also using packer trucks, which is your regular trash trucks, and that compacts the debris. So we're after that. And in the meantime, staying up with the day-to-day trash pickup. And people are going to just have to ask for a little patience, but want to know that we're doing the best we can at this point. As I said Friday, there's not a whole lot of resources out there that we can borrow from other people because everybody's having this going on. But our whole process is to be prepared and get after it, and you see that. And we're going to continue to do that with the debris pickup. Other than that, we're back to normal operations, other than the cleanup and cutting down trees that need to come down and propping trees up that hopefully will still live and the like. But our emergency operation is obviously no longer in process. We still are in that declaration of emergency that the mayor has signed to, because a cleanup needs to be part of that, so we get reimbursed by FEMA. So we're taking all the steps to get reimbursed by FEMA. But as far as actual operations, we're pretty much back to normal other than the debris cleanup. And if there's no questions on that, I got a couple other.
A question. I had received an email. I guess there's a FEMA representative that's now in town. I just received it this morning. So I was wondering if it might be appropriate for them to make a presentation at our workshop or be there for any questions we may have on particular reimbursement dollars. And I just think, you know, FEMA takes its own time, and I get it, you know, but at the same time, this is our back-to-back storms, and we're still waiting. So I'd like to understand the dynamic from them and what they're hoping to accomplish time frame wise.
We'll see if we can make that happen. Okay. If you'd like that. You know, and you said back-to-back storms. That reminds me that one of the things I was impressed with is we had that after incident report where it outlined things for us to accomplish. It was very rewarding for me to see things like pep tanks, and we had pep tank, I call them the pep tank parade, mm-hmm. You know, where they went out and pumped down pep tanks. FPNL was responsive to our pep tank areas being priorities. Now we got more things to look at, and each one of these teaches us another lesson. But a lot of the lessons that Matthew taught us, we implemented and made a big difference. So the assisted living facilities will be one that we'll take a look at. Any other ideas, anything else you all hear, we will make that after action report to you, and would welcome your feedback. The other things I have is Cindy's back there trying to make sure we get back to normal, and we're trying very hard to do that. Tonight is Food Truck Tuesday, expecting good weather, so hopefully people can come out. We're kicking off the Pink Army 5K campaign with the Florida Flagler Florida Hospital, and also the Sheriff's Office PAL organization will have games for kids. So we're trying to make sure that you everybody brings out their kids. Senior games kicked off Monday. We have tennis going on, horseshoes. You know, look at our Parks and Recreation senior game website. There's a icon on our front page. Anybody's interested, but we've got hundreds of participants on that. That is very popular, and we are getting back to normal the best we can on that. Other than that, Mayor, I think that's all I have for today.
I think we'll have a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.